Our Heavenly Father, please bring the message that you want to your children and to people you created that do not know you yet, that are perhaps searching for you without being aware of it. Like Saul of Tarsus, he was so passionate about serving you that he didn't even recognize Jesus when he was struck off his horse. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He recognized that he was from the Godhead, but he didn't know who he was. And so I pray for those that know you, your children, and those that are searching to get to know you as their Redeemer, their biggest brother, the lover of their souls, the King of us kings. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 10, verse 16 to 21, NCV. But not all the Jews accepted the good news. Isaiah said, "Lord, who believed what we told them?" So, faith comes from hearing the good news, and people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. But I ask, didn't people hear the good news? Yes, they heard, as the scripture says. Their message went out through all the world. Their words go everywhere on earth. Again I ask, didn't the people of Israel understand? Yes, they did understand. First, Moses says, "I will use those who are not a nation to make you jealous. I will use a nation that does not understand to make you angry." Then Isaiah is bold enough to say, "I was found by those who were not asking me for help. I made myself known to people who were not looking for me." But about Israel, God says, "All day long I stood ready to accept people who disobey and are stubborn." These are quotes from the Old Testament scriptures, which is the Jewish scriptures in those days. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who would have believed what we heard? Who saw the Lord's power in this? That was quoted in verse 16. Then verse 18 quotes Psalm 19 verse 1 to 4a. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies announce what his hands have made. Day after day they tell the story. Night after night they tell it again. They have no speech or words. They have no voice to be heard. But their message goes out through all the world. Their words go everywhere on earth. So it's actually Psalm 19 verse 4, the first part of 4 that they're quoting. But in context, to give a bit of context, it's talking about God's creation. The heavens, the skies, all of creation is declaring God's mercy, God's goodness, God's love towards the entire world. Verse 19 is quoting Deuteronomy 32 verse 21. They used things that are not God's to make me jealous and worthless idols to make me angry. So I will use those who are not a nation to make them jealous. I will use a nation that does not understand to make them angry. So God can use anything to get the message across. Even a donkey spoke to the prophet Balaam. It's in Numbers 22. I'm only going to focus on verse 28 and 29a. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have beaten me these 3 times? And Balaam said to the donkey, "You have made me look stupid." So yeah, God can speak through even a donkey. So he speaks through his creation, and he speaks through the nations. He says, a nation that doesn't understand. I would guess that's a nation that is not familiar with the Jewish heritage. Might point to Gentiles. But either way, God speaks and hopefully we'll notice and listen. Verse 20 and 21 are quoting Isaiah 65 verse 1 to 2. The Lord says, "I made myself known to people who were not looking for me. I was found by those who were not asking me for help. I said, 'Here I am. Here I am,' to a nation that was not praying to me. All day long I stood ready to accept people who turned against me. But the way they continue to live is not good. They do anything they want to do." Basically, the earliest Christians were Jewish, and they went to the Gentiles when the persecution started getting bad, and they scattered throughout the area. And sometimes a person's attitude toward the Word of God, toward Jesus, is good, and sometimes it's bad. And Jesus encourages us to say, well, the way the world treated me, it'll treat you the same way. In John 15, 18 to 20, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And so we can expect similar reactions to us that happened to Jesus. So don't take it personally. The warfare is not against you and me. It's against Jesus Christ. Talk about the attitude of the heart. There's a beautiful illustration in Luke 7, verse 36 to 47. Afterwards, Simeon, a Jewish religious leader, asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simeon's home, he took his place at the table. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard that Jesus was at Simeon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at the feet of Jesus. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over she kissed Jesus' feet. Then, as an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. When Simeon saw what was happening, he thought, "This man can't be a true prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman is touching him." Jesus said, "Simeon, I have a word for you." "Go ahead, teacher, I want to hear it," he answered. "It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other only owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owed. Tell me, Simeon, which of the two debtors would be more thankful? Which one would love the banker most?" Simeon answered, "I suppose it would be the one with the greater debt forgiven." "You're right," Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simeon about the woman still weeping at his feet. "Do you see this woman kneeling here? She is doing for me what you didn't bother to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting. But from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven of all her many sins. This is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little." Jesus illustrated once again in a parable that he told in Luke 18:9-13. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And finally, we get encouragement in Jude 1, verse 20-23. "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, maintain yourselves in the love of God, while anticipating the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings eternal life. And have mercy on those who waver. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Have mercy on others coupled with the fear of God, hating even the clothes stained by the flesh." And so we can see that God is merciful to those who realize that they are sinners, and he resists the proud and arrogant. And so I encourage you, as you live your life, your daily walk amongst people, those who know God might need encouraging, and those who don't know God might need enlightening, just so that they know that Jesus loves them to death. He'd rather die than live without them, and he did die. And he rose again, and he ascended, and he is our high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. I encourage you to shine your light.